In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's obvious that in the Holy Scriptures, we see that our Lord, trying to get certain messages across to us, uses images, foreshadowing, personifications, types, and prophecies. On Wednesday, we celebrated the Feast of Mid-Pentecost, and we're still celebrating the Feast of Mid-Pentecost. And we are chanting now during this period of Mid-Pentecost. At Mid-Feast, give thou my thirsty soul to drink of the waters of piety. For thou, Savior, didst cry unto all, whosoever is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Wherefore, O wellspring of life, Christ our God, glory be to thee. This is what we're chanting at every service. The image here is concerning water. There is no life. There is no life without water. And so during the period of Mid-Pentecost, on the Sunday after, we have this gospel passage concerning the Samaritan woman, a very beautiful gospel passage, which is full of meaning. There are so many messages in this gospel passage that we simply don't have time to uncover them all. Our Savior went to the well of Jacob in search for a soul. There was a Samaritan woman who went while the Savior was there. Our Savior was waiting for her. The Samaritans were schismatics. They were not considered part of the true believers. So she had that going against her, because the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. And on the other hand, she had something else going against her. She was a very sinful woman. So our Savior sees her coming, and he asks her, just like that, very simply, give me water to drink. There's a very significant reason why he's asking her this question. And the reason why he's asking her this question is because he wants her to ask him that question. And he starts off with this conversation. Now, you've heard us many times say that our Lord tries to initiate a conversation with us. This was a very evident conversation. But in a spiritual manner, he's always trying to converse with us. He's always trying to devise means to save us. And when he sees us going astray, he will not let off doing all things till he brings us back to himself. This is very encouraging and an indication of the great love of our Lord. But it's also very scary, because the more a person rejects the Lord, the greater his condemnation. That is a reality. Our Savior initiates the conversation, give me water to drink. And she asks, how is it that you're asking me? I'm a Samaritan woman. Jews have no dealings with the Samaritan woman, with the Samaritans. And our Lord continues the conversation. If you knew who you were speaking to, you would ask of him water to drink. And the conversation continues to the point where there's this dialogue which goes on, and our Savior continues to bring her to the point where he wants her. And he turns the attention to spiritual matters, but she's still worldly. So he's working with her, and he's working on her. And he says that he would give her water which would permit that she never thirst ever again. And so she says, sir, give me this water to drink. And this is the point where our Savior says, okay, this is where we want her, but now is the time to deal with her personal life. Go call your husband. Because our Savior was not going to give her the water to drink until she dealt with this serious issue. "Go call your husband," he says. And she answers, "Sir, I have no husband." And our Lord says, "Thou hast rightly said thou hast no husband, because thou hast had 5 husbands, and the one who you have right now is not your husband." So after she asks for the water, not really understanding what kind of water she's asking for, and after our Savior tries to bring before her her sins simply for the purpose of correcting her, she says, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." And then we get into the dogmatic questions. Now's the time for dogma. Our Father is worshipped here, and you people say that God must be worshipped in Jerusalem. This is the point of contention, one of the points of contentions between the Samaritans and the Jews. And our Savior says the time has come when God, neither here nor there, but God is worshipped in spirit. Now he brings to everybody the essence of the matter, that God must be worshipped from the heart. And places and times and circumstances are not as important as the heart of the matter. The heart of the matter is giving our heart over to God, worshiping our Lord from the heart. And too many people are hard-hearted. For this reason, we are consistently and continuously talking about how we have to remove all those obstacles from the heart, those clouds which hover over the heart, that ice which is around the heart, which needs to be melted, clouds which need to be scattered, so that the messages of salvation which enter into our ears and go into our minds can sink down into our hearts. But the evil one wants to make sure that it doesn't, that those messages do not sink into the heart. So even before they get into the mind, he tries to pull them away. Man is forgetful. This is why forgetfulness is considered a sin. If we understood exactly what goes on during the spiritual battle, we would understand that the forces of good and the forces of evil can have authority over us in as much as we permit it. We are either going to work with our Lord, or we are going to cooperate with the evil one. The worst part of the whole thing is that the evil one camouflages himself. And so the foolish people can very easily be fooled. But it's easy. Give your heart over to the Lord. Bow down before him. He's the master, you're the servant. Don't make him the servant. When we push our will, we're making him the servant. And this is the presumption which is horrible, which is a horrible state, which separates us from God. And if we see it at some point, then we'll understand and we will be humbled by the fact that we were so proud, and we will see how disgusting that pride is and how and why it separates us from God. There's a very serious reason why. For light does not have any communion with darkness. So the conversation continues, and our Lord brings her exactly to the point where he wants her. And she says, for some reason, probably her conscience was speaking to her, she brings up the Messiah. The Messiah is going to come. And our Lord then answers her. It's basically the conversation is just going perfectly now. And our Savior answers her, "I that speak unto thee am he." And so she ran to her fellow countrymen, the Samaritans, and she told them, "Come and see a man who told me everything that I ever did." Of course, he just spoke about her sinful life with the five men. But she says, he told me everything that I ever did. Mayhaps this is the Messiah. And they were willing. And they were moved by her account of him, because she carried something from him to them. Then they asked our Savior to stay with them. A few days, our Savior stayed with them. Remember how in another passage of the demoniacs, they asked our Lord to leave. Here they ask our Lord to stay. These schismatic, heretic Samaritans were more willing than the true believers. There are reasons for these gospel passages. A lot of times people who become so zealous for the faith fall into the trap of the temptation from the right, and they think that they're okay now, and they don't understand that they become pharisaical. We've seen it many times. And how many times have we seen people who are preaching orthodoxy with pride become heretics? For this reason, one has to always be cautious and not be so proud. So here we have now an example of someone who had all the wrong prerequisites for sanctification, but her heart was ready and willing to accept the Lord because of her humility. The Samaritan woman is none other than Saint Photini, who has great boldness before the Lord, who stands in the heavenly abodes, beseeching the Lord for us. The conversation continues because the apostles were away. So our Lord's disciples returned, and they marveled at the fact that he was speaking to a Samaritan woman. But they didn't say anything. They were away getting food. And here our Lord is continuing now with the symbolism. And he says, my nourishment. He talks about the nourishment. They were concerned about the things of this world, the things of this life. And our Lord again now takes the opportunity to explain to them what real spiritual nourishment is all about. So these are some of the teachings that we have in today's gospel passage. At midfeast, give thou my thirsty soul to drink of the waters of piety. For thou, Savior, didst cry unto all, whosoever is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. We chant these hymns, but if our heart is far away from God, we're not listening. It's a call to all of us to ask our Savior to give to us of this water. At midfeast, give thou my thirsty soul to drink of the waters of piety. For thou, Savior, didst cry unto all, whosoever is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. All of us should thirst after righteousness. All of us are in need of spiritual nourishment. All of us have before us now the example of the Samaritan woman who was a sinner, who is not right in the eyes of God. And all of us have the opportunity now to follow her example, to ask of our loving Lord to give unto us the waters of piety, the waters of life, since he is the spring, the wellspring of life. Grant unto us, O Lord, to drink of these waters, so that we will never thirst anymore. And grant unto us to thirst after righteousness, so that we may be saved. God is worshipped in spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And as St. Macarius of Egypt tells us, we must pray to receive the Holy Spirit. Not long from now, we will celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. May our Lord deem us worthy of the reception of the Holy Spirit. May our Lord enlighten us to open our hearts. May our Lord himself scatter the clouds. May our Lord himself warm our hearts so that the ice will break and melt, so that he can give unto us a heart of flesh. Grant unto me, O Lord, a mind to turn to thee, as we chant in the hymns of the church. Our Lord can grant unto us a new heart and a new mind, and this is precisely what we are searching for. To our God, the wellspring of life, be glory unto the ages of ages. Amen.